Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Good morning. Hey, I get to see some people this week. It's pretty awesome. So glad that you guys are here, and happy 15th anniversary. We are so excited. Yes, we're celebrating God's just faithfulness over the last 15 years. We're just excited that we could even gather here, first of all. But then, like I said, for it to be on this day where we're actually remembering back 15 years of how God started this little bitty thing out here in eastern Colorado and see what He's done over the last 15 years, it's just a testimony to His faithfulness. And so I want to share with you one thing real quick before we get going. If you look at this logo up here, you kind of get a kick out of it. I think a lot of people have missed it, but I wanted to make sure that you were aware of this. It's an inside joke. This has been the craziest year ever, right? Would you agree with that? I'm old, and it's been the craziest year I've ever gone through. And so we decided for years to come, like 15 years from now, when we're looking back on our 15th year anniversary and all, and we see our logo, there's this little thing up here. It looks like a mistake, but it's not. We actually put like little bird poop on that 2020, just so we would always remember. So anyway, inside joke. Today, I'm excited because I get to share with you out of Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9 today. So if you would, go ahead and grab the Word of God, flip over to Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and we're going to move through this today for our 15th year anniversary. Now, of course, our 15th year anniversary, if you're like me, it causes you to reminisce just a little bit. You look back on where we got started 15 years ago. And I was going back and I was looking at some pictures. And 15 years ago this Sunday, we were actually gathering in the Strasburg building, the elementary school cafeteria over there. It smelled like junior high feet. It was awesome. There was an ice machine that would dump at the worst time during the service, like right in the middle of the prayer. It would dump like 40 pounds of ice, you know, and all these different things. But we were just so happy to be meeting somewhere, to have a place to gather. And that first Sunday, we weren't even sure if anybody was going to show up. And to have them walk through the doors that first Sunday was just what a blessing and an encouragement to us. That God was the one that was leading us to this. And so if you fast forward 10 years, so that would be 5 years ago for our 10th year anniversary, and many of you probably were at this one, you know that by then we had already grown to a point that we had to move over to Bennett. We were meeting in the Bennett High School auditorium there. And on our 10th year anniversary, we brought everybody out after the service, and we gathered on this property. We actually gathered hands and made an outline all the way around where the building would eventually be built. We had a baptism service. We dedicated the land, dedicated the building and everything on that day. And like I said, many of you were probably there. And if you're trying to get some type of relative where we're at right now, if you look on the other side of the white tub where those guys are standing right there, that's about where you're seated right now. And so it's kind of cool to know that 5 years later, here we are in our own building doing 7 services today because the restrictions are at 50 people, but that's what we're having to deal with today. But we're just thrilled to be here and with you guys today. And so what I'm going to do today is we're going to walk through Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and I want to share with you 15 lessons that I've learned since the launch of MVF. So one for every year that we've been around. And I'm going to draw these out of our text today. If you've been with us over the last several weeks, you know that we've been working through a series called Sent. We're working through the book of Acts. We're taking a look at this early Acts church. We ended last week with this godly man, this man of faith, a man filled with the Holy Spirit, a guy by the name of Stephen, being stoned to death. He becomes the first martyr of the church. And when we ended last week, there was a young guy there by the name of Saul who was standing there. They were laying their coats at his feet, and he was watching on as they're stoning Stephen. That's where we want to pick the story up today. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, this is what it says. Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. This is a church, if you've been with us through this whole series, you know that it started with an explosion, like the Holy Spirit filled the apostles. They went out, preached, thousands were baptized, and it just began to grow, and all these great things are happening, and you would think that that would just continue, but what we learn is Stephen is stoned to death, he becomes the first martyr, and now persecution sets into the church. And what I've learned over the last 15 years that I think applies to this is that I'm not in control. I don't want to call myself old, so I'll just say I'm seasoned. How's that? As a seasoned person, I've learned this to be true. I'm not in control of anything. If you're not of that age yet, if you're not seasoned, you probably don't know this. I want you to know that life will not go the way that you planned. Like tomorrow won't go the way that you've planned. And what we find out is things never go the way that we plan, but it's okay, because even when things don't go as planned, even when they get hard, we have a God who is in control, a God who does have a plan and is still working in the midst of even the mess, even in the uncertainty. He is still working and in control of that. Verse 3 says, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Saul is this salty character, man. He's a very legalistic person. He wants to wipe out this new belief, this new way. They call it the way. They don't have a name for these Christians yet. And it's this new teaching of Jesus Christ. He's trying to wipe it out. And what we find out is that people are messy. They're just messy, aren't they? Anybody? A couple of you? Okay, look at the person next to you and say, you're messy. All right, there you go. You need to know that, because we're all messy. And what's awesome about this is God even can work with us being messy. It says that even when we're messy, God meets us right where we're at in our mess. Romans 3 tells us that not a single person is righteous, not one. And we being messy people, even when we're trying to do the right thing, many times we screw things up, don't we? We're messy, but the great news is that because we're messy, God came for us. He sent his son. If it wasn't for us being messy, Jesus wouldn't have had to come in the first place, but he still came and provided us a way to be made right with God, to invite God into our mess. Verse 4 says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. I think this one's so relevant for us today, because we have not been in this building for 28 years. They get scattered. They get pushed out of Jerusalem, and they're going everywhere. And it says, everywhere they go, they're preaching the gospel. And so another lesson that I've learned, number 3, is that we're the church, not the building. Like, we are the church. And this is God's design. You need to know that. Like, he never meant for the temple to be the focus, the focal point of the religion, or is this new way that was starting. He wanted it to be about people. He wanted it to be about him, about you, about a relationship between the two of you. And so we are the church. And I have to tell you, I am so excited, because you embrace this. You live this out. You are being the church. Even during this time of COVID, we've been baptizing people. Why? Not because we've been gathering and preaching the gospel right here in this auditorium, but because out there, you've been the church every week, every day. You've been reaching your families and your coworkers and your classmates and bringing them in, and you're winning them over to Christ, and you're baptizing them. We're seeing you live out this mantra of baptize people, baptizing people. And so thank you for embracing this idea of owning the fact that you are the church. Verse 5 says, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. That's a whole nother message, right? And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So what happens when all those things are going on? It says in verse 8, so there was great joy in that city. See, these believers had received Jesus Christ. They had received his love and his grace, and they turned around, and they were sharing that with the world around them. And so the fourth thing I've learned is that God's people are generous. They are so generous. Can I just say that over the 15 years, I've seen God in you because of your generosity. And I know we talk money sometimes when we think about generosity, but it's more than that. And I've seen you guys rise to the occasion so many times. Maybe there was a missionary here that needed something, or we had a need within our community, and every time we've presented that to this body, you guys have just taken care of it. It's amazing. Many of you have gotten out of debt, and I've seen this time and time again. You've turned around and helped other people get out of debt. And by the way, on that subject, we've got a big announcement coming up in a few weeks. The church has actually done something. We're going to offer it to the entire church free of charge. And so we're excited to be able to do that. That's coming in a few weeks, just to kind of tip you off. So pay attention to that. But the reason we're able to do that is because of your generosity. But like I said, it's even more than just monetary. It's so many things. And then one of the examples I thought of is not just once, but a couple of times here in the church, we've actually had people surrogate children for other people. Like that's like way over and above. Now, I'm not advocating you run out and do that today. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just using that as a great example of how generous this church is. Thank you so much for being such a generous church. Verse 12 says, "But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized." See, again, just growing, even in the midst of persecution. "Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed." Now, Simon is this person talked about earlier, and he's this miracle guy. He's like a magician, and he's winning people over, and people start to think that he's something great. And then all of a sudden, he hears about Jesus Christ, and it changes his life. Because of his relationship with Philip, he starts listening to what Philip has to say, and he comes face-to-face with Jesus. And it says, even this, he believed, and he was baptized. And he begins to follow Philip around so that he might learn. He might grow in his faith. And what I love about this is it leads me to my fifth lesson that I've learned, which is life is about relationships. It's all about relationships. Our mandate here at Mountain View Fellowship is fostering relationships. And you've embraced that. I see that. Not only as a mission of the church, but you've adopted that as a mission for your life. You guys are loving people, not just in the church, but outside the church, at work, at school. And this is what's changing things, is the relationships that you're fostering so that you might point people to Jesus. Every ministry here at Mountain View Fellowship is based upon fostering relationships. Why? Because that's what God has created us for. He's designed us for a relationship with Him and with each other. And you guys know this. Now, we've talked so many times about how these relationships and this life that God has blessed us with are the only things that we're going to be able to take from this life to the next. And so life is all about relationships. Verse 14 says, "When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message," they what? They sent Peter and John there. They sent them there. The sixth thing that I've learned is that God brings and He sends. God brings and He sends. I had this really naive thought when we were launching the church 15 years ago that everybody that was on our launch team was going to be with us forever. That we would see people come through the doors of the church, and we were just going to add to the numbers, and they would stay, and they would always be here, and the church would always just grow, and we would just grow in our faith together, and no one would ever leave. And I found out that that's not God's plan at all. That God brings and He sends. We've got people who have left this church and gone on to pastor other churches, youth pastors, discipleship pastors. We got people who become missionaries. We got people who have moved out of state and they're involved in leadership in other churches and helping them do a better job because of what they've learned and how they've grown here. It's amazing how God has used so many different people. And what I've learned is that God brings and He sends. And so therefore, I need to love fiercely those who are here, but I need to hold them loosely. Because my greatest hope for every one of you is that God would eventually send you somewhere and use you to expand His kingdom, to grow His kingdom. Verse 15 says, "As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit." See, one of the things that we have really learned and we've kind of gotten away from it and we're leaning back into it right now is that prayer changes everything, even if it's just my heart. Prayer changes things. It really does. And we've talked so often about prayer, how many times one of the biggest reasons for prayer is that we would wrap our heart around God's desire, around His will, to help us be on the same team with the Holy Spirit and the work that He's already doing. It's more about wrapping our heart around God's will than it is changing God's mind. Now, with that being said, I want you to tune in for October 25th. So coming up in a few weeks, we're going to do something really cool. We're going to have an entire message on prayer. And on October 25th, we're going to launch an initiative. It's going to be 30 days of prayer the entire month of November, we're going to enter into a time of prayer as a church together. So I want to make sure that you tune in for that, that you're on board for that. So I'm just tipping you off to it now. But prayer changes things. It really does. When we get to chapter 9, we see Paul's conversion, and he's this obviously salty dude. He's out killing Christians, and I want you to see what type of person we're dealing with here. The first part of chapter 9 says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers." Do you see the hatred in that statement? So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. The voice replied, "I am what?" Say that. "I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Now, the reason I emphasize that is I want you to know that the apostles in Scripture were the men who Jesus chose. He chose 12 of them, and he walked with them for 3 years, and he taught them, and they had an intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus went to the cross, and Judas went and hung himself, and so they went from 12 to 11. But in this moment, many times when you see a blinding light in Scripture, you know, all through the Old Testament, and who are you? "I am the Lord your God. I am, right? But this is the first time that we see, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." And because of this, Saul will eventually become Paul, and he'll become an apostle because he was literally called by Jesus himself, and he will fill in that 12th slot. So, but what we see here is this guy who was bent on killing every Christian on the face of the earth, hatred for this new way, comes face to face with Jesus, and his life has changed in a moment. The eighth lesson I've learned is that no one is outside of God's reach. No one is outside of God's reach, no matter how far away they are. And that is why Mountain View Fellowship was planted 15 years ago. We're here for those who are far from God. Not for us who are mature in our faith, but for those who are outside the church. That's why we make so many decisions that sometimes you're like, "Why did they do that decision?" All you have to say is to reach more people for Christ. And that'll answer the question every time as to why we do certain things. As Jesus went out of his way and met Saul on the road to Damascus, we're going to do everything that we can to bring those who are far from God into a meeting with Jesus. That's what we're here to do. You know, you've experienced this, that no one is outside the reach of God, because many of you had wayward children that you almost gave up on. You thought they were lost, and somewhere down the road, they finally came back to the faith. Many of you could tell stories about deathbed confessions of faith, people that we never thought would be right with God, and yet they came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think for many of us, we walked into Mountain View Fellowship, and we looked around, and we went, "Wow, like I'm really surprised that person's here," right? The reason for that is because we never expected them to be in church, and yet here they are. And if you haven't done that, guess what? They're probably saying that about you. Okay, so it's okay. But we have so many people that we just didn't think we would ever see in a relationship with Jesus Christ that are forming a relationship with Jesus Christ because of the work that God is doing here at Mountain View Fellowship. And that leads me to my ninth lesson that I've learned, which is God is still in the miracle business. He does miracles, and we see this left and right. Matthew chapter 19 actually says that nothing is impossible with God, that God can do anything. And if you want a real-life current event to prove that God is in the business of miracles, I would just point to what we're doing today. You realize we've been out of this church for 28 weeks, and we're still here. We're still standing. I don't want you to go, "Well, what a coincidence," because it's not. Let's call it what it is. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that God is taking care of his church. He is faithful, and he is just taking care of us every step of the way. Verse 6 says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. Now, this one I've learned. It's just the fact that I can't always see where I'm going, but I can trust God with tomorrow. This one has been big for me. Over the last 15 years, I've had to learn that, again, number one, I'm not in control. But even though I can't see where we're going, I don't know what tomorrow holds, I can trust Jesus with it. He's got it. Every step of the way during the last 15 years of this church, every step has been a surprise to me. Like I've planned, I thought I had a plan, but it's been a surprise because God was doing what he wanted to do. And isn't that the way our life is with Jesus anyway? We start a life with Jesus, it's more about letting go and trusting that God can handle whatever comes our way. I've learned this, and I won't turn back on this one. I'm not going to fear tomorrow because I know that God's got it. I trust him with it. Verses 10 through 12 says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. The Lord said, 'Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I've shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again.'" You're going to find out here in just a minute, Ananias knows who this guy is, right? This is a tall order. But yet in this moment, I kind of imagine Ananias as just being this believer. He's trying to, you know, grow. He's trying to become more and more like Christ. He's just doing his own thing. And out of nowhere, God speaks to him and says, "Here's what I want you to do." And this is just a normal guy. It's not one of the apostles. It's not one of the priests. It's just an everyday guy. And so number 11 is every member is a minister. Every member is a minister. And you guys have embraced this. It's not just the preachers. It's just not the pastors or the staff. But every one of you have embraced this idea that you're a minister. We're all called by God to be ministers to our own worlds, to our own families. And you guys are bringing the gospel into areas we could never bring the gospel into. If you ever walk into to Mountain View and you go, "Man, this place is kind of crazy. Like there's people all different ages and from different backgrounds, and it's just an eclectic group of people." If you ever wonder why, it's because of this. Because you own this. Because here's what's happening. Every one of you are reaching a sphere of influence that I could never reach on my own. I have no say in those areas, but yet you carry the gospel into those areas, and you are winning people and baptizing them and bringing them in. And that's what's making Mountain View Fellowship such an interesting place to be. All these different people are coming together because every member is a minister. Verse 13, "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name." This is his argument. I think we would all have the same argument right here. "But the Lord said, 'Go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.'" I love this because he does object. He's like, "I don't know about this," but take a look at what he does. So Ananias runs the other way. No, not really. "So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" This is such a key lesson for us because so many times God will ask us to do something that's out of our comfort zone, something that we think is almost impossible. Now, I don't know if he's ever going to ask you to go and face somebody who wants to kill you, but that's what he's asking Ananias to do in this moment, and Ananias obeys. And so the 12th lesson that I've learned is just move. When God calls, just move. Just go. Be obedient. Because when I was younger in my faith, I remember, you know, I'd feel the prompting of the Spirit, and I'd be like, "Okay, well, is that really what I'm supposed to do? Is that really from God, and what exactly am I supposed to do? Because I don't want to mess it up." And what I found is in those moments, I'm paralyzed, and I won't move. As I got older, I realized, just move. If I'm moving, God can use me. If I'm just trying, to do whatever he wants me to do. And I might even start off in the wrong direction. But if I'm moving, God can direct me, and he can guide me right back to where he wants me to be. But if I just stand still and I do nothing, nothing happens. When God calls, just move. One of my heroes of the faith is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he once said, "One act of obedience is worth more than 100 sermons." I think that's exactly right. Verse 18 and 19 says, "Instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength. Now, the lesson I get from this is that my timing is not God's timing. He took a guy who was so far away from God and within a couple of days flipped the whole script. I mean, he is now a believer. He's baptized. And something I would have looked at and went, well, that's going to take a long time to reach that dude, right? See, I found out in my own life over the last 15 years that there are things that I think are going to happen overnight, and God will, he'll delay. There are certain things that I think is going to take forever, and God will make it happen within an hour. It's God's timing, and we just need to lean into that and trust that God has it and that it's going to happen in his timing, because our timing is different than his. Continuing in verse 19, it says, Paul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priests? See, they know. They're afraid to even trust this guy. Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Saul went from being so far away from God to now becoming this beast within the synagogue of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he came face to face with Jesus and he gave his life over to Jesus. And number 14 is that God even uses our mistakes. And the reason I bring this up, because it would have been easy for Saul to go, God can't use me. I've done so much wrong, there's no way that he can use me. And maybe you're there. Maybe you think you've made a mistake in your life that's beyond God. And I want you to know that even if you think your whole life is a mistake, I've got great news for you. God can use it. He can use you if you'll just let him. But you got to turn it over to him and let him use it. I want you to see how this entire story ends. Verse 31 says, the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord, and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in number. Even in the face of persecution, one of their own was stoned. Persecution hits the church. They're scattered. Even in the midst of all of this, it continues to grow. Why? Because it's God's church. And you know why? Because God is faithful to his church. I learned never question God's faithfulness. He is always faithful. God has been more than faithful to you, more than faithful to me, more than faithful to MVF for the last 15 years. And I believe that he'll continue to be faithful. He'll continue to guide and lead and bless us for years to come as long as we're pursuing him with everything that we have. God has taught us so much over the last 15 years. But here's the great news. I don't think he's done. Right on? I think because of God's faithfulness that the best is yet to come. And I'm looking forward to that. I hope you are too. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now as your children. We just ask in this moment that you would speak into our hearts. Give us direction. Give us instruction, Lord. And Lord, I pray specifically for those in this room who are struggling right now through this crisis, through work, maybe a loss of job, maybe struggles within the family, maybe sickness. God, I pray that you would just be with them in a very tangible way right now. Would you let them know that you know exactly what's going on in their life? You love them, and that you've got today, tomorrow, and every day after that taken care of. Lord, we just ask that this continues to build us up in our faith, that we begin to trust you with even a greater trust. And Lord, we just ask that all this molds and shapes us into the people that you've called us to be. May all this bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Thanks for joining us here at Mountain View Fellowship. We'd love the chance to meet you in person. We gather each Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at 1955 Headlight Road in Strasburg, Colorado. If you aren't able to join us in person, we'll meet you right back here next week. God bless.